Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, let's kick off the 7 o'clock hour with a caller here, and then we'll get David Noble's reaction. Yeah, David first started joining us at 6:20 this morning, so if you missed the 6 o'clock hour, you missed out. Steve in Ballantyne first up this hour. What's on your mind, Steve?
Morning, guys. Well, I want to get David started on this one. That stupid senator out of North Carolina that says he's not going to vote for Trump's pick for that attorney general because that attorney general is trying to get the honest Americans out of that hellhole of a January 6th riot. And they played him yesterday talking about, he says, hey, you know what, they deserve to get what they got because they went in there. You know, what an idiot. And, you know, in my words, I bet you North Carolina, I bet he just cooked his dog. He's done. I'm sure they won't reelect him now. But I want to get David's take on that.
I was going to say, isn't that, Tom Tillis, or Thom, T-H-O-M, Tom Tillis out of North Carolina. Yeah, he's been pushing back against some of Trump's other, team members and policy objectives as well.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with Steve, and totally agree that this is inappropriate for Senator Tillis. Hopefully it's enough to get another Republican in there. I can't remember if Tillis is kind of a long-standing establishment kind of Republican or not, but
he's been on the repeat offender list a few times. Yeah.
I mean, Donald Trump's take. I mean, I watched Donald Trump's presser yesterday, or he was taking questions in the Oval Office, and somebody asked about it. And frankly, Donald Trump was pretty magnanimous about it. He said, "Hey, look, these senators have their own reasons and their own things," and he sort of brushed it aside. And as long as this guy gets confirmed, although I saw something on X that basically said, if the Senate doesn't confirm a U.S. attorney or something like that, then the chief judge of the district can appoint a temporary one, which is that Judge Boasberg
guy. Yeah.
And so it was like, if Tillis and other Republicans actually torpedo this nominee and Judge Boasberg gets to pick the U.S. attorney for D.C., like,
get a far-left wacko in there.
That's terrible.
Yeah, I think is it Ed Martin? He was a big part of the Eagle Forum with Phyllis Schlafly. I think that's the U.S. attorney nominee for D.C., mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken. I'm just going off of memory here.
And he defended January 6th defendants, and good for him, because guess what? A lot of those January defendants had their constitutional rights violated. They had their equal protection rights violated.
It was a total of, you know, the Democrats just sit here and go on and on and on about so-called due process for an MS-13 gangbanger from another country. I mean, and yet they trampled on the rights and the due process for anybody who simply walked through the Capitol on January 6th, right? And so, and even for folks who felt that some of those people, you know, should be held accountable for what they did, fighting with law enforcement, etc., okay, but yet why were they getting much harsher punishments and penalties than criminals in Washington, D.C. that were raping women in the streets that got less severe punishment.
And our position has always been anybody that attacks a cop, they should all be prosecuted. However, if you're going to selectively prosecute the Republicans and then just let all the Democrats go free, that's also unconstitutional and a violation of equal protection.
Yeah. Yeah, it was an outrageous abuse of civil rights across the board with what took place, and that's what they're rectifying right now. All right, I'll get to my woke update next.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today, there's a slight chance for a shower storm late in the day. Otherwise, highs range from the lower 70s in Bozeman to the low 80s in the Billings area. For tonight, isolated shower storm chance early. Otherwise, temperatures will head back down to the mid-40s in Bozeman to the mid-50s in the Billings vicinity. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
There was a lot of controversy when far-right activist Laura Loomer claimed credit for President Trump's decision to fire National Security Advisor Mike Waltz. She claimed credit, saying it had been a scalp. She mounted a campaign against him. President Trump had nominated former Fox News contributor Dr. Jeanette Neshwat to serve as his Surgeon General. But Laura Loomer went after her and said that she was not qualified and she didn't have the right views and she couldn't possibly do the job of Surgeon General. And seemingly as a result, the president pulled that nomination. So whether or not she gets all the credit, some of the credit, none of the credit, is up for the political pundits to debate. But it certainly looks like she has the president's ear. And if she has you in the crosshairs, you're vulnerable. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jelly heads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe. Bye-bye.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We were talking with David about the Arabian Gulf, not the Persian Gulf anymore. It's the Arabian Gulf in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. This was my first pick for Woke Update of the Week. So, David, remember when Disney, they threw a big old fit over what they called the Don't Say Gay bill in Florida, which was a lie. There was no bill that said, you can't say gay, don't say gay. It was a lie, but Disney threw a fit over what they called the Don't Say Gay bill in Florida. But now, as the Daily Wire reports, Disney is celebrating their new theme park in Abu Dhabi. And as the Daily Wire points out, they are building a theme park in a city where being gay is illegal. So there you go.
That'll get you killed if you're gay there. In a lot of parts of the Middle East, you get killed if you're gay.
Yeah, but see, they manufactured this phony controversy in Florida because Ron DeSantis and the Republicans there were protecting kids from a bunch of sexual content for kindergartners.
Why did these Democrats want to be talking to little kindergartners about sex in the first place? That's one of the reasons they lost the 2024 elections. And there's, I mean, I sort of thought, like, so, you know, we had a caller, Nancy, and Roundup had sort of quoted Trump as saying, you know, woke is dead. And I thought after the 2024 elections for the longest time that sort of that was true because, like, look, you guys just got your butts kicked. And it's pretty obvious that you guys got your butts kicked because you were out there defending this idea that public government officials, a.k.a. public school teachers, should be talking to little kids about sex without their parents, you know, and things like that.
And not just normal sex, like weird like, yeah. Like, okay, what are you guys pushing that? Why do you think you need to talk to kids about that stuff? Why? Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like it's going away. I they're not backing down on some of this stuff.
Well, that leads to what maybe really should be the woke up update of the week on an even more serious front here. So the Federalist.com had a piece by Calvin Sherman earlier this week, and California Democrats, and we were talking about the styrofoam ban that the governor vetoed here in Montana, which is a California-style bill that thankfully the governor vetoed. But look at what Democrats in California are doing. As the Federalist writes, should it be a felony to purchase an underage minor for illegal sex? So in Montana, Attorney General Austin Knutson, he talked about how he worked to strengthen the laws. It used to be somebody could come to Montana and offer to pay for sex with a child five different times before they would ever face severe consequences. So they finally strengthened the laws on that front to combat human trafficking in particular. California Democrats, quite the opposite. They are opposing a bill that would protect, opposing a bill that would enact more severe legal penalties for underage sex trafficking. And David, do you know what their argument is? Well, if we passed a bill to more severely punish underage sex trafficking, that would more likely end up targeting the LGBTQ community. That's their reason for opposing a child sex trafficking bill.
Sort of makes you wonder if they've got data to support that. So, do we actually have data on that? Because I'd like to know, like, you know, who is doing the underage sex trafficking? Because again, that same argument they're using. And if they've got data to back it up, and if that's their argument, then wouldn't that same argument apply to adoption?
Yeah, apparently the ACLU of Southern California is also making this claim that they're basically saying that if you passed a measure like this, it would disproportionately affect LGBTQ Californians.
They've got to have data to back that up. They don't say that without the data.
That's a good point. Where are they getting the numbers from? Let me keep looking through this article here. But they're openly admitting what they are saying is they're saying. So they get really pissed off when Matt Walsh and conservatives call them groomers for trying to groom children into their LGBTQ lifestyle. And yet here they are saying, well, hey, LGBT, what they are saying, this isn't what the Daily Wire is saying. What they are saying is that LGBTQ people are more likely to target kids, so that's why you can't pass a bill to protect kids from sex trafficking.
Unbelievable.
In their own words, that's what they are saying. That's crazy.
That's the woke update of the year. This sexual perversion stuff, I really do think is at the core of not only America's problems right now, but if you look back in history, a lot of civilizations that have collapsed have collapsed due to sexual depravity and sexual perversion like that. And you know, the Bible says that sexual sin is a unique sin, unlike any other sin, because with sexual sin you're actually sinning against your own body, whereas your other sins are outside your body. That's what the Bible says. And so I think that, and frankly, again, I go back to the 2024 election. I think this weird sexual stuff from the left is a big reason why Republicans did so well in the election, and I think it's an important issue, and it's not very nice to talk about, and I don't frankly like talking about it, but when you've got a society as perverted as ours, and you know, and that's when you start to see like the, you know, people in the Middle East, for example, saying like, you know, we view America as really a sinful country. Like, look at the movies Hollywood puts out. Look, like Lady Gaga and Katy Perry's music videos are literally like softcore pornography in a lot of ways. I mean, you start to understand why some people are like, wow, this is kind of a satanic country.
By the way, there's some really funny videos on Instagram where it shows like these. Did you ever watch the Saturday Night Live clips of "And I'm Denise, so I'm Nora," and it's these women singing, and then the last one is "And I'm Denise," so they show these video clips of like Taylor Swift singing, you know, and then at the end it's Katy Perry dancing, you know, real weird, and they go "And I'm Denise," hysterical. I'll find them. I'll send them to you. I will fill your inbox with stupid videos.
Sounds good.
Right now, during the break, I'm going to do just that. Important things here.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
It's hard for me to get the image out of my head of Lucy holding the football for Charlie Brown to kick when people start talking about cutting spending in the federal government. You know the cartoon. Every time Charlie Brown runs at the football to kick it, Lucy pulls it away at the last minute, only to implore him to try again. And so we start again to talk about cutting things in government, only to find that spending continues to surge. It must be said, leaders in Washington, including the ones we send there from Montana, simply are not serious about cutting spending or raising taxes to manage deficits. There's been simply no downside for elected leaders to spending ever more borrowed money, to the point where today, in a full employment economy, government spends $1.8 trillion, or about 37% more money than it takes in taxes. But if leaders pay no attention to future generations or are saddled with that debt, there is one voice that gets their attention, and that is the bond market. The stunning rise in bond yields a few weeks ago following the tumult over tariffs reminds us of that fact. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is House Call for Health. A study says parents' obsessive use of technology may have detrimental effects on their children. Researchers from the University of Wollongong in Australia reviewed responses from nearly 15,000 participants, all people with kids up to the age of 4. Their goal, to study the parents' use of technology in a child's presence. Researchers say the study found excessive use of technology in front of kids was linked to poorer cognition, pro-social behavior, lower attachment, higher levels of internalizing and externalizing problems, and higher levels of screen time. The research also found multiple distractions and interruptions by technology can leave unforgettable impressions on kids. Researchers say obsessive technology use can lead to a child feeling like they have to compete for their parents' attention or are being ignored. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Today I'm reporting once again from Australia on the 2025 World Angus Forum. Now, I'm not going to lie, I am relieved to not be having to ride a bus again. Today we put over 1,000 miles on our buses traveling from Sydney to Brisbane on the Angus Track Tour, but we are in Brisbane for the 2025 World Angus Forum. There's over 26 countries represented at the event, and all are passionate about livestock and the Angus breed. One of those individuals is from Perth, Scotland, Mr. William McLaren.
Well, you know, that's what the Angus breed's about. It's a family, but it's a people breed, and we've got a common goal and an interest. And we're all saddos on that bus. We all just want to look at cattle, speak about cattle, and eat cattle. And when it's Angus, we couldn't ask for a better breed. So it's a world breed. The genetics have travelled, the American genetics have travelled the world. So we all have common genetics that we know about and rules that we all can speak about.
Now, the theme of the World Angus Forum was Beef for a Better Planet. A lot of discussions on the global scale on the role cattle play in taking care of our natural resources. For more on my trip down under, check out my social media pages, Lane Nordlund, Ag Broadcaster. Have a great day, everyone. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I just couldn't help but laugh there when David Noble was talking about the weird wokeness of Katy Perry, of this singer Katy Perry. You guys remember when Katy Perry, she used to have a place down in the Paradise Valley south of Livingston a while ago. I think John Mayer's still down there. I mean, he was raising money for firefighters and things like that. But I think he and Katy Perry called it quits a long time ago. I don't know. Somebody's going to have to fill me in as the entertainment correspondent here. But that's all I remember anyway. But yeah, apparently Katy Perry, because of all of her weird wokeness and her weird woke dance moves on the stage at her concerts, is drawing some criticism on social media. Let me see if I can play this video. There's been several different reels, you know, on Instagram and some of these other social media sites where they'll show like a video of Beyonce singing on the stage and then Taylor Swift staying on this, you know, singing on the stage. And then they end with Katy Perry and the "And I'm Dooney." Anyway, here's what it sounds like. You can't see it, but you can at least hear it.
I'm Janice. I'm Holly. I'm Nora.
And I'm Dooney.
I'm Janice.
Anyway, there you go. You got to have a little bit of fun around here, don't you? 406-294-0970 is the number for you if you got something you want to talk about. You can message us on the Montana Talks app. In fact, let me go check the app messages right now. Oh, man, we've got a few of them that came in here. Let's see. Let's just read them in order here. So many candidates for the Oh, for Pete's Sake moment of the day. This one comes from Tim in Savage. Let's see. The Boise City Council over in Idaho. The Boise City Council adopting the Pride flag as their official city flag so they can circumvent state law. That has got to be the top for the Oh, for Pete's Sake moment. Now, that message came in the 5 o'clock hour this morning. So I don't know. We've had some woke updates since then. So there could be some candidates for the Oh, for Pete's Sake moment that even top that one. But yeah, if you guys haven't heard, this is crazy. You know, here's the thing. Even in a sea of red, you can have islands of crazy. Even in a sea of red, you will have these islands of blue. That really is the country. That's the United States of America. If you think about it, it's Montana. It's Idaho. I mean, look at the illegal immigration debate in this state right now. We are a sea of red. Sea of red. Counties, towns, Montanans who overwhelmingly voted for Donald J. Trump, who voted for border security. And yet look at these crazy islands of blue. The Gallatin County attorney standing in the way of ICE deporting these criminal illegal aliens. Boise, Idaho. Idaho is another red state, but Boise, you know, it's something about cities. And people just go crazy and start, you know, adopting crazy beliefs. So the state of Idaho, the legislature there, passed a bill to say, hey, no more of these nonsensical flags on state buildings. You got the U.S. flag, you got your state flag. You know, here in Montana, a friendly reminder, the POWMIA flag is also supposed to be flying from government buildings. They're not telling people what they can and can't fly on their own private buildings. This is government buildings. So in Idaho, they said, you know, we're going to stop with this crazy pride flag. And so you're not going to fly this pride flag from government buildings. You put the state flag, you put your the U.S. flag, and that's it. None of this other nonsense. And pushing this partisan political agenda from government buildings. So the Boise City Council is saying, oh, the pride flag is their official city flag now. What a bunch of nut jobs. What a bunch of nut jobs. Let's see. Let's check some more messages coming in here. All right. Let's see. Okay. Somebody told us there's a little buzz on the radio, so we've got somebody checking into that. We've got our engineers checking into that one right now. Thanks for the heads up on that one. Let's see. Okay, let's get to some other stories here because we've got a great guest joining us here in just a few minutes. We just had the Farm and Ranch Report. And we're going to do a Farm and Ranch Report of our own, a recap of Montana's legislative session. We've got a great guest from the Montana Farm Bureau Federation who's going to be joining us here in just a few minutes to recap the legislative session from a farm and ranch perspective. So that'll be coming up here in just a few minutes. In about 1 hour, Jennifer Owen from the Billings City Council is going to join us. Talking property taxes, property tax relief, and how the city of Billings is going to try to steal your property tax relief and raise your taxes instead. So Jennifer Owen, it's going to be great to get her insight because she's been fighting these efforts. She's been working to fight these efforts. Bernie Sanders, you guys remember when he flew into Missoula, Montana? On a private jet, he and AOC flying private jets to their little socialist rallies. What a bunch of hypocrites. He was called out from our friend Jake Eaton, a conservative political campaign consultant here in Montana. He says this, the hypocrisy of the left is always entertaining. So Bernie Sanders, it looks like he did an interview with, I think it was with Brett Baer on Special Report. And he was talking about these rallies that he and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez were doing all across the country. And Brett Baer must have brought it up. Brett Baer must have asked him about it. Basically, hey, why are you spending all of this money flying around on private jets? I mean, these are the people that lecture us about climate change and carbon dioxide emissions, and yet there they are flying around on private jets.
Five rallies in a week. The only way you can get around to talk to 30,000 people. Think I'm going to be sitting on a waiting line at United, waiting, you know, what, 30,000 people are waiting? That's the only way you can get around. No apologies for that. That's what campaign travel is about. We've done it in the past. We're going to do it in the future.
Yeah, so listen to his response there. What do you think, I? See, this is how... He sits here and calls other people names, oligarchs, the oligarchy. This rich guy, this rich hypocrite, Bernie Sanders, doesn't think you should be able to become successful and fly around on a private jet. He'll bash you for that. He lectures you about climate change, and yet here he is flying around on private jets. And what was his response? What do you think? What do you think I'm supposed to do? Wait in line for a United flight with all these other people? Yeah, that's exactly what you should do. In fact, no, you shouldn't even be doing that, Bernie. If you believe everything that you claim to believe about climate change and carbon dioxide emissions, you shouldn't be flying anywhere. Hold a Zoom call with the people in Missoula. Hold a Zoom call with the people in Boise. You hypocrite. You have the ability to not even leave your house and talk to 30,000 people, kind of like we do every day here on Montana Talks, but yet you're the hypocrite going out there flying all over the place. All right. Hey, let me speaking of your house, let me tell you guys about a great deal for your house right now. YHIC, your home improvement company, they're in the middle of their Memorial Day sale. Goes on now until May 31st, and they've got an unbeatable deal. 50% off your window purchase, plus free labor with a minimum of 4 windows. It's a deal you don't want to miss, plus easy financing, 0 down, 0 interest, and 0 payments for 12 months. Call 406-948-2836 today to schedule your free in-home consultation. The Memorial Day sale runs now until May 31st, so don't miss out. Let me repeat, 50% off your window purchase, plus free labor, minimum of 4 windows. Call 406-948-2836 right now. That's 406-948-2836. You're going to love the difference with your home improvement company. Go to YHIC.com to find out how. And, and you can save money on your energy bills, not just in the very, very cold winter, but in the hot summer as well by being more energy efficient with some new windows.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. We should have a guest joining us here any second now. Caden, you might want to just double-check to make sure they know to call us. Because sometimes we have folks that they're waiting for us to call them, but we typically tell folks, hey, you call us just because we're in the middle of, you know, running the show here, having a bunch of other conversations. So sometimes just easier if we have people call into us. Okay, let's see, though. Let's look at a rundown for the day here. We're going to have pretty much open phone lines for the 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock hours of this show, although I mentioned we've got Jennifer Owen joining us around 8:40. We're going to be talking about property taxes and property tax relief. One of the big concerns in the final days of the legislative session that folks in Montana's largest city, which is Billings, had was, okay, so let's say the state delivers on property tax relief for residential property taxpayers. Okay, well, what if then the cities and the counties just take that relief away and just say, oh, yeah, well, the state decided to cut your property taxes, but we're just going to raise them instead anyway. And so the state gives you property tax relief, but then your city, your town, or your county just said, nah, we're just going to adjust the mills and just take more of your money anyway. And most cities and counties across the state can already do just that. And continue to do just that. I mean, the best example is the far-left city and the far-left county of Missoula. Used to be that even though the city of Missoula was far-left, at least the county was normal. And, you know, you'd still have some common-sense Republicans on the county commission. But now you get a double whammy if you live in Missoula, because if you live in the city limits of Missoula, you get hard hit by the city of Missoula's taxes and regulations and transient invasion. And then you also take another hit from the county. And so that's why in Missoula, just in the last couple of years or so, they continued to raise property taxes. They raised taxes on Missoula city and county residents effectively combined at 20%. And yet Democrats try to come back and say, oh, no, we support property tax relief. Oh, yeah, they might vote for a property tax relief package in Helena. But then it's one step forward, but then two steps back if you live in these liberal enclaves, because then they will just, you know, raise your city tax or your county tax to make up for it anyway. And now in Billings, though, as we've talked before, they have a city charter which ties their hands, which protects, you know, we the people, which protects you the people from them automatically raising your taxes without going to you first. But as we heard from Billings City Council member Jennifer Owen, as we heard, the city, and remember, we still have a predominantly, you know, left-wing run city of Billings. Yellowstone County is very conservative. Just look at the election returns in 2024. But the city of Billings still has a liberal school board, liberal city council by and large, liberal city leadership by most measures here. And so the city was doing an end run around their own city charter, around their own people, and going to the legislature and going to a handful of Republicans and going to the Democrats and saying, hey, you guys are going to give property tax relief to our people. We want to take it away from them, but we have a city charter that blocks us from doing that, so you need to give us the ability to bust a cap on our own taxpayers. And they got it done, essentially. Handful of Republicans and Democrats. The Billings area Republicans, maybe even one of the Democrats, voted against it. I'll have to ask Jennifer Owen about that. But yeah, the Billings Republicans were against it because they're like, no, you're going to bust a cap in the charter and then just take more money from the people, even as the legislature is looking to deliver residential property tax relief. So, but yeah, Amy Nile had a story for the Billings Gazette following the latest Billings City Council meeting. Billings to follow state mandate to override mill levy limit imposed by local voters. So you see the way they're spinning this? You see, they're spinning this to say, oh, well, we're being forced to do this. We're being mandated by the state of Montana to bust a cap on our own taxpayers. You're the ones that went to the state of Montana and asked them to bust a cap on your own taxpayers. Because your taxpayers were going to get property tax relief, and you're saying, no, we don't want them to get property tax relief. And so that's what's happening, right? And so I guess my question is, will the people of Billings pay attention, and will they get involved in the upcoming city council elections and the mayor's race that's coming up, you know, later this year? Or will they do what they just did in the school board elections and allow the left to retake a hardly fought in one seat on the school board? Just go back to the old trend of ignoring school board elections, ignoring local races, and only focusing on presidential races and big statewide offices while ignoring what's happening in your own backyard. Yeah, I mean, it's just like, God, here you go again. Okay, I guess I'm assuming our guest must not have had gotten the details. I know we changed our schedule around a little bit. Oh, hey, there we go. We've got Carly Johnson now with us here from the Montana Farm Bureau. Carly, thanks for being with us. I appreciate you joining us for a post-legislative session update.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Aaron.
Well, what are the wins, what are the losses, would you say, following the legislative session here in Montana from an agriculture front?
Well, you know, I think overall we had a pretty good session. We had some great wins in the kind of the wildlife management sector. Some of those were an increased penalty for criminal trespass that was carried by a representative, Jill Konauer. We were happy to be able to support that. And what that does is if someone's convicted of criminal trespass while hunting or shed hunting, then it provides for the temporary removal of hunting and fishing rights. One of the things that we're experiencing on the landscape is that shed hunting can be a pretty profitable enterprise, and those trespassing fines really weren't deterrents. So we needed something extra to be able to ensure that people were respectful of private property rights, because when folks are trespassing, that's not good for landowners or for the people that want to do that with permission. So we were happy to be able to support that bill. We also supported one from Speaker Brandon Lear that requires Fish, Wildlife, and Parks to notify counties when they release a large predator. So Fish, Wildlife, and Parks already has to have designated areas for grizzly bears, and the counties are aware of those. But this is for things like mountain lions, mountain lions and wolves, which they rarely relocate, but also for black bears. So this just helps people to be have another layer of information.
Yeah, speaking
of...
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Sorry, I feel like I'm word vomiting.
It's good to get a once-over of some of the key things, but since you mentioned Grizzlies, I definitely wanted to get your take on what's the latest when it comes to Grizzlies, and some of this is not only state issues, but federal issues as well, of course.
Yeah, well, and we've talked before, Aaron, and I work for Montana Farm Bureau, but my family also ranches just outside of Shoto, and
right.
So we live in the heart of grizzly bear country, so that's something that's, of course, very important. To my family and my community. So where we're at on grizzly bears right now is in early January, of course, they denied those petitions to delist. And the comment period on that is open right now until next Friday. And that's something that they've gotten over 100,000 comments already. And a lot of those are from folks just saying that they like grizzly bears and they're happy to have them protected.
Probably form letters from radical environmental groups. So the big message is then to Montanans who know that we need to delist the grizzly bear from the endangered species, get your comments in, get your voice heard.
Exactly. Yeah, they need to hear from folks like us, and they need to hear that, you know, we're seeing an increased number of grizzly bears, the species is recovered. We need additional meaningful management tools on the ground to be able to continue to live with this species. And then we need to just celebrate the recovery and delist them.
Yeah, that's right. And can they go to the Montana Farm Bureau website to get, you know, the information on how best to get those comments in if people need some assistance on how where to find the comment location, et cetera?
Absolutely. Yep. We have a link on our website where you can click and comment, and that'll go directly into the federal registry. And there's a form letter of sorts on there that you can edit to share your specific experiences. And sharing personal stories is very valuable.
All right.
Requires...
Well, hold that thought. We got to hit a hard break here. Stand by. Back with Montana Talks right after this.
My cat Freddie loves to be brushed and cuddled. But stirring up his cat allergens meant sneezing and itchy eyes.
Achoo!
Then I found Purina One Live Clear. It's cat food that reduced the major allergen and my suffering in as little as 21 days. Now, we feel closer than ever. If you have issues with cat allergens, you really need to try Purina One Live Clear. Try new Purina One Live Clear today. Purina One, a difference from day one.
Fox News commentary.
Wednesday is the real ID deadline. If you don't have yours yet, do us a favor and don't go to the airport. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Wednesday, May 7th is a day that's been pushed back for over 5 years. The Real ID deadline goes into effect. The deadline to be Real ID compliant has been pushed back 4 times so far. In most states, all you got to do to get one is show proof of U.S. citizenship, a Social Security card, 2 proofs of residency like a utility bill or a pay stub. Most of us have had the Real ID for years now and didn't even know it. But now people are panicking because they won't be able to board a domestic flight without it starting this week. Important to note, you can also show a passport, so don't freak out. I already know this is going to cause a major headache at the TSA line and a needless headache at that. So as someone who travels weekly, I beg you, if you haven't made the time in 5 years to get the Real ID, please don't go to the airport and try to fly without it. Your procrastination shouldn't stall the rest of us. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today, there's a slight chance for a shower storm late in the day. Otherwise, highs range from the lower 70s in Bozeman to the low 80s in the Billings area. For tonight, isolated shower storm chance early. Otherwise, temperatures will head back down to the mid-40s in Bozeman to the mid-50s in the Billings vicinity. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Frombley.
Go west, young man, haven't you been told? It's a line from a great Toby Keith song. Maybe it's also a line that will soon be told to employees at the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. Yeah, I got the chance to catch up with former acting BLM director William Perry Pendley, talking about that and much more. What are we going to talk about on Thursday's Montana Talks? Maybe that, maybe something else. You tell us.
Clay as your promo code at LifeLock.com. LifeLock, for the threats you can't control, terms apply.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, great. Carly Johnson able to stick around with us here for a few more minutes. Lots to talk about following the Montana legislative session, plus news on the national front as well. You know, Carly, earlier I heard our friend Lane Nordland reporting from Australia. Somehow we didn't get the invite to Australia. I gotta ask Lane what the heck happened there. I mean, did it come in the mail and I didn't get the mail or what?
I didn't see my invite either, Aaron, so we'll have to both have a visit with Lane. Australia sounds like pretty fun.
Especially this time of year, yeah. Although, actually, now the weather's going to be pretty nice here over the next couple of days. So, well, we'll get on him about that. Maybe we'll have to take him on a grizzly tour in your backyard if he doesn't get us on the next Australia trip or something like that. Well, back to the Montana legislative session here. Definitely want to get your take on the property tax relief. It's going to be relief for residential property taxpayers, but it sounds like farm and ranch groups are were pretty concerned about what might happen to ag property taxes.
Yeah, I mean, property taxes were definitely a hot topic this session, and I think it's pretty fair to say that whenever you lower property taxes on one side, like they say, it's like pushing in a balloon and it pops out someplace else. And ag will take on some of those shifts for the residential property tax relief. I think the projections are around 2% on ag land across the state. We'll see an increase. So not a terribly huge increase. And then there's some caveats, too, around residences that are on ag property that are not primary residences for the owner. There'll be probably about a 9% increase on those as well.
Really? If you got a ranch hand or something who's in a house, but it's not the ranch owner's property, that's where they'll see an increase because it'll be considered like a second home.
Yeah, potentially that sort of thing. They created an ag stead, so it won't necessarily be taxed as a second home. The residences that are going to be taxed as true second homes, they're looking at, I've heard, as high as like 60% increase on those. And the idea was that we wanted to give meaningful property tax relief to residents that live in Montana and have primary residence here, and that those folks that don't live here should help to support that property tax relief. And initially, without all the amendments, they did a pretty good job of not shifting to agriculture and keeping those shifts really within residential. But with some of the amendments, the shift to agriculture became larger, and we weren't able to support the bill after that. And did raise those concerns that, you know, especially in rural communities where if you don't have a lot of secondary homes, and you don't have a lot of other property tax base besides agriculture, those counties will likely see a larger shift.
And then what about the water bills? We've only got about a minute or so to go here. I know there were some bills where the Farm Bureau was opposed to one bill, but the stock growers were in support, and that'll happen from time to time. At the end of the day, were you happy with the water-related bills that came out or got blocked during the session?
I mean, overall, we're pretty satisfied with how we came out on water. We had some real concerns going into the session about the exempt well bill that came out of the Comprehensive Water Review, and we certainly appreciate all the work that group did, and our own Senior Director of Governmental Affairs, Nicole Rolfe, served on that. But that bill ended up being what we felt like an expansion of exempt wells in the majority of the state. And then it also had opposition from the development community because it shut down exempt wells in the highest growth areas. So it didn't work. It didn't work for folks like us out in the country, and it didn't work for development. And then some amendments were also added to that one that did things like...
We got to hold it there. We're out of time. But Carla Johnson, appreciate your time. Thanks for being with us.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
It's hard for me to get the image out of my head of Lucy holding the football for Charlie Brown to kick when people start talking about cutting spending in the federal government. You know the cartoon. Every time Charlie Brown runs at the football to kick it, Lucy pulls it away at the last minute, only to implore him to try again. And so we start again to talk about cutting pins in government, only to find that spending continues to surge. It must be said, leaders in Washington, including the ones we send there from Montana, simply are not serious about cutting spending or raising taxes to manage deficits. There's been simply no downside for elected leaders to spending ever more borrowed money, to the point where today, in a full employment economy, government spends $1.8 trillion, or about 37% more money than it takes in taxes. But if leaders pay no attention to future generations or are saddled with that debt, there is one voice that gets their attention, and that is the bond market. The stunning rise in bond yields a few weeks ago following the tumult over tariffs reminds us of that fact. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.